is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads Podcast. It's Mike Lensing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel.
Woo 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 woo!
Emergency Cavs Pod. Overreactions to tonight's beatdown of the Milwaukee Bucks. Go.
Mike, I have to tell you, it was a glorious thing. I will be honest with you. When I watched the first quarter, okay, and the first quarter was not what I would call the best moment for the Cleveland Cavaliers, okay? They gave up 35 points. They're losing 35-26. But there were glimmers. I mean, we were hitting threes, which we don't – I mean, we've been better this year. Whatever. But they were making Giannis work, okay? They were doubling him every single chance he got. And by the way, he still scored 26 points, Mike, and they doubled him a lot. And
we have the Giannis stopper? Do we have the Giannis stopper?
Oh, dude, Mobley was great in one-on-one defense against him. Now, once again, he had 26 points, but a majority of those points, if you look at his statistics, okay, Giannis goes 26 points, 7 of 13 from the field, 11 of 12 from the line. Okay, so he made a bunch at the line, which that's good for him. I mean, congrats. But there were three possessions that stood out in the second half for me that looked like Giannis. Like, I don't want to say he was in the fourth quarter completely checked out, but they had just done such a good job on him. He got switches two different times on Kevin Love, Mike. Okay, Giannis being guarded by Kevin Love. He settled for three-pointers on both those possessions. Like, that's inexcusable. We used to get so mad at LeBron when he would do that. Oh, you got this little small guy on him. That's inexcusable. You're Giannis. You're going to blow right past old man Kevin Love. And Kevin
Wait,
Love was,
have you seen how spry Kevin Love is?
Kevin Love was great tonight.
But my favorite Kevin Love play this year, and I don't mean one specific play, is the fake and the jump sidestep three, where then suddenly he's elevating again on the threes. Like, if you look at him the last 2 years,
it was pitiful.
He barely even could move and he couldn't jump.
He looked like now, you, Mike.
Yeah, I'm looking at this guy going, oh my God, like he can move. He jumps. He's like a totally different guy. Like, if you watch film of him from last year and the way he's moving compared to that, it's just incredible. Look, tonight he leads the team in scoring again, 25. I don't know how many times he's led the team in scoring this year, but let's put it this way. It's way more times than he led the team in scoring last year. Yeah, and he just looks like a guy who can contribute. And he has. And I just haven't seen him move this way. I don't even know if he moved this well when he first got
this,
here.
I'm ready to say it. This is the best Kevin Love has looked as a Cleveland Cavalier.
You might be right.
Except for the shutdown of Steph Curry in Game 7 of 2016 in the last minute of the game, this is the best Kevin Love has looked as a total package since he came to Cleveland.
Let's be honest, right? When Kevin Love was in Minnesota and you're looking at box scores or you're seeing highlights of Kevin Love and you're seeing the numbers that he puts up, how much Kevin Love basketball were you honestly watching him play in Minnesota? And the answer, I'm guessing, the same as it is for me, is not a whole lot. But
you could argue, Mike, he was a version of Colin Sexton the last 2 years, where he was just a stat stuffer. Like, he was getting good stats, but his team was never really good. I mean, and it's not that Kevin Love was doing anything wrong. He was the only thing on that team, right?
But he was also a guy that did multiple things, right? He could score. And initially, he was a post player when he first came into the league. And then he expanded his game to be able to shoot threes. He could rebound the ball. He was a really good passer in Minnesota. You look at his assist numbers and you think about, he's been a good passer since he's been here too, but he just never has had the ball in his hands very much. And not that he has it in his hands a ton this year, but he's just being asked to use his skill set in a way that he hasn't been asked to do that in the past. And again, let's face it. He hasn't had the best, let's be kind to Kevin and say he hasn't had the best attitude over the last 2 years in terms of being part of a rebuilding team. And now this team, you just look at up and down the bench, guys who play, guys who don't play, guys who score, guys who don't score. Everyone on that team at this point is still in the honeymoon phase. Everyone is happy. And to me, I just think Love epitomizes what this team is, even though he's not clearly the three most important guys are the ones we talked about on the pod the other night. You have Garland, Mobley, and Allen. Those are the three most important guys now and going forward. But Kevin Love has been critical to their success, and the fact that he's bought in and become somebody who not only are they not going to buy him out or trade him, but he's actually become a valuable piece of their team. And look, you and I talked about it the other night. It's not unrealistic that we go into the All-Star break as the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, which is insanity.
I know I was talking this up before we started recording. I'm going to put a little kink in that wrench here for a second, Mike.
Okay.
I think they have to consider sitting Garland for a game or two. His back was acting up tonight. He had to go out for stretches. He went to the locker room to get treatment in the fourth quarter, between the third and the fourth quarter. I think, I can't believe we're talking about load management with the Cleveland Cavaliers, but I think that it would be smart, especially with our schedule. Like, this is the time that we go, okay, so the Cavs are going to play. They play Saturday next, right? Is that when they play next? No, they don't play till Sunday. Okay, so we got a long stretch here. We play the Pistons on Sunday. If I'm the Cavaliers, I think we can beat the Detroit Pistons without Darius Garland. True or false?
Now, hold on. I think what you're really trying to do is secretly, I know you've started the Kevin Pangos fan club. You're just trying to get Pangos more minutes.
Hey, by the way, happy birthday, Mike, to Kevin Pangos,
happy birthday.
Darius Garland, and Isaac Okoro. Did you know all three of them had their birthday today?
Sweet. Hey, that's a good
20% of the Cavs have an active roster.
That's a good birthday present. That's a good birthday present.
Yeah. So anyways, I think that they sit him on Sunday. Give him, because then the next game after that is they play Monday. I'd rather him play at home on Monday, sit him on Sunday. Don't play him back to back. Give him a day off. Just let him rest his back. Like, I know that's, maybe this is stupid me talking, but we should be able to beat the Pistons without Darius Garland. Start Rondo. Have Billy Goodwin come off the bench. Keep Pangos at the end of the bench, please. Okay. But we should be able to beat them without. And hope maybe by then Jeremy Grant will be gone, and you know, not that he's really. I mean, I don't know your feelings on that, but I think I'm concerned about his back.
A back injury. Back injury is not something that you want to mess around with. Although clearly, there's not much you can do for it except rest. And yet, I don't know how much rest there is to be had. Clearly, if you have a few days off here and then you sit him against the Pistons, it buys you a couple extra days, and if that's what it takes to get him back to 100%, great. Garland, I think, as we talked about, he's the most important guy. I just don't think the team functions nearly as well when he's off the floor. And so as a result, it feels dicey to sit him. And yet at the same time, what does a midseason game at this point mean to the Cavs? Well, maybe it means the number one seed, right? And
yeah.
I just, man, it's still so hard to believe that this team is where it is. And yet over and over and over again, they just prove to us and to the rest of the league that, look, this isn't a mirage anymore. It's for real. And
listen, you can't even use the excuse that they had anyone sitting. Their top three were playing tonight. Their top three were playing.
Right.
Now, I know Grayson Allen was suspended because he's an idiot and decided he was going to get a flagrant two. And he's a dirty player. And I know that Brook Lopez isn't playing, but Brook Lopez isn't changing the outcome of that game.
Right.
Okay. He's not. If anything, on the defensive end, he's a minus for them. Like, he helps on the offensive end because he forces either Mobley or Allen to have to guard him outside in the three-point line because he can shoot. But still, like, is he going to, comparatively to, like, what Bobby Portis? I mean, Bobby Portis played great tonight, I thought. He played pretty well. And so is he going to contribute more than Bobby Portis contributed tonight? I don't know about that.
Look, they have Connaughton and DiVincenzo. So basically, to me, those three guys are all similar versions of one another, which is a nice luxury for Milwaukee to have if you think long-term about what they can do in the playoffs and the kind of rotations they can put together. Having Connaughton, DiVincenzo, and Grayson Allen all healthy gives them a lot of options where if one of those guys isn't playing well, they can just bring in a different guy. But nonetheless, when it comes to the Cavs here, you have to buy it. You have to buy it. And Shetty tonight takes 14 threes. I read somewhere, maybe it was a tweet I saw, or maybe it was an article, that the difference between the Cavs blowing teams out and the Cavs squeaking by with victories, which is a good place to be. Look, squeaking by with victories is a really good place to be. But Chetty was kind of that missing factor. During the run where we were just killing people, Chetty was having big games. He was knocking down threes. And he's been, I would say, since he signed that contract, he's kind of been a disappointment. And not it was some big overpay. I think we paid him, what, like $8.6 million for 2 years or something like that. It was pretty small. But nonetheless, he hasn't really lived up to, I think, what maybe people thought that he could be. And yet, this season, he's been super important. So are we getting career years out of some of these guys around our quote-unquote big three? Possibly. Could this be the last run of Kevin Love's health? I mean, it could all go away tomorrow, right? I mean, he could clearly and easily get hurt, and that would be a huge blow to the Cavs. But look, we've already overcome the loss of two guys who on day one of the season you would have said are going to be very, very important players for this team, right? You lose Sexton, who averaged 24 a game. Not many teams can lose a guy who scores 24 a game for them and seemingly improve, and then you lose Rubio.
Yeah, I got another one for you, Mike. I didn't even think about this.
Okay.
If the Cavs get the number one seed, Mike, you know who coaches the All-Star teams.
JB, right?
Let's go, baby.
Nice.
Let's do it.
Nice.
Let's get that number one seed. Nice. Let's get it. Jason Lloyd, I want to credit Jason Lloyd. I love this tweet, too. Everyone knows by now how good Garland, Mobley, and Allen are for the Cavs. So I'm going to keep pointing out guys like Dean Wade and Lamar Stevens, two undrafted forgettables they have developed into valuable rotation pieces. That's really, really hard to do. I couldn't agree with it more. Like, if Dean Wade's out there, I'm not worried. Like, he's serviceable. When Lamar Stevens out there, he is a dog, man.
Yeah, the guy plays hard, and he competes. And I think with Dean Wade, he brings a skill set that's similar to, whether you think about Markkanen or Love, they're similar players, kind of like what we were just talking with the Bucks, right? So you bring in Love, you have Markkanen out there, you have Dean Wade out there, and they all are different levels of skill, but similar. And so if one of them's going well, then you ride that guy. If the other guy's going well, you ride that guy. And that's what makes this roster so interesting. And it's so different from the way other teams in the league are playing. And the ability of Mobley and Allen to be able to defend the interior, and then Mobley to be able to step out onto the perimeter and guard people, just gives the Cavs lineup flexibility that so many other teams don't have. And the numbers back it up. And if you're not a Cavs fan, you can say what you want about this team being a mirage and it not being real, but every single number that you can pull out analytics-wise points to the fact that this team's defense is real, this team's scoring margin is real, and this team is not going away. They're just not. And unless one of those three guys goes down with an injury, I just think they're going to keep playing well. And tonight, to beat the Bucks with all three of their big three guys in there, and not just beat them, but beat them convincingly, and especially coming off of two wins where they struggled against teams that, at least at this point, we have to say aren't as good as them, but they were able to gut it out. And I said it the other night on the pod, those are games that mediocre teams lose, right? You find a way to lose that Knicks game where you lose the lead. It looks like it's going to slip away from you, and you just don't make the plays that you need to down the end of games. And this team, despite the fact that they blew that lead, they didn't play very well in the fourth quarter, but they came up with just enough plays at the right time to be able to win that game. And that's sort of been the story of the season. Either they're killing people because they're just playing so well, or they figure out a way to squeeze out wins that maybe lesser teams wouldn't be able to squeeze out. And the way the league is this year, There's no juggernaut team. At least there's no juggernaut regular season team.
Listen, we just got an endorsement from Giannis in his post-game press conference.
What'd he say?
This is not the Cleveland we knew over the past years. We have to respect them more. They're a playoff team and are fighting for the title themselves.
Look, I mean, I know the title of this pod is going to be the Cavs overreaction pod. I'm not ready to overreact and say that the Cavs are going to be winning the NBA title this year, but I don't
think. Are you ready to say that they have a chance at the Eastern Conference Finals?
Man, I still can't really wrap my head around the fact that that's even possible. Like, it really doesn't seem like it could be possible. But like I said, every single thing that you look at, every metric, every game result tells you that it is possible and it could be possible. I don't know. Can this team go toe-to-toe in the playoffs with the biggest stars in the league? I mean, history would tell you no, right? Because, I mean, if you start ranking players in the NBA, who's the first Cav? Not talking about – I mean, clearly, if you look at NBA assets, right, Mobley, if you look at who do you want to build your team around, who do you want on your team for the next 10 years, Mobley's probably right there. He's clearly – I don't know, top 10 for sure. He might even be top 5 if you talk about the next 10 years, who you want. But if you talk about who you want right now, who are the best whatever number of players in the NBA, you got to get probably pretty far down before you get to, I don't know, which one do you get to first? I guess it depends on your preference, but you're probably at least going to 30, 35, 40, maybe even more than that. So history tells you that can't be a team that legitimately can win the title. But man, this has been a fun season to this point, and all signs point to the fact that we're going to continue to go on this roller coaster. So
yeah, I will just do one more thing. Post game press conference tonight, some reporter asked Jared Allen about Uncle Kevin, and Jared Allen says, "It's Grandpa Kevin, not Uncle Kevin."
That's good. That's good stuff. Hey, keep it going, Cavs. We appreciate everyone jumping on and just listening to our little Cavs rant here. This team has been tremendous. They do things on a nightly basis that continue to surprise us. And the future is bright in Cleveland. Those three guys are really, really good. Evan Mobley has a chance to be one of the 5 best players in the league.
Wait, hold on, I gotta stop.
Okay,
our favorite. We don't have a Magic Johnson tweet, but our new Magic Johnson is Kendrick Perkins, and this is his tweet: "The Cavs got that it factor. It's a must. We talk about Cleveland tomorrow, NBA today. Ain't that right, Malika Andrews? Carry the hell on." So there you go. Thanks, Kendrick.
All right, let's leave it there with Kendrick. So let's carry the hell on and get out of here tonight. We appreciate you checking out this quick Cavs overreaction pod after the 115-99 beatdown of the NBA world champion Milwaukee Bucks. Let's go, Cavs. Thanks for checking us out, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.